Down, welcome to Human Quest episode 420. I'm your host, Mike Epps, aka Wheels, and with me as always.
Dead to the world, David Rennie, Fanboy Master.
Harsh.
Dead to the world.
Happy Pocky Day to everyone in Yesterday Land. Your manager, man, Michael Baker, Gajimu Gatari.
Pocky.
Yeah, Pocky. It's Pocky Day.
Pocky.
Yeah. 11/11.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is Smoke and Joe. Here, this is Smoke and Joe Gamer. 420, motherfuckers!
Yeah, we know what you were doing on the pod anyway.
And, special appearance by my Tam on this Veterans Day in the U.S.
Veterans get Pocky, that's the new policy.
Nice.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, no, that's good shit. You get some of the weird Pocky, though, like the dark, like the men's Pocky.
Well, honestly, I stopped by the supermarket yesterday, and out of literally an entire shelf, the only thing still available was salted caramel Pocky.
I would have eaten it.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
Oh, it's definitely not the worst thing in the world. My wife loves it. It's just, it was literally out of like 8 different varieties on that shelf, it was the only one still left there. Like, the entire section of the supermarket got sold out yesterday.
I mean, it works out.
Oh, but you should have seen the marketing 15 years ago on November 11th, 2011.
Oh, that must have been just like, this is the most Pocky Day that will exist this century.
This is the most Pocky Day that shall ever exist.
By the way, update on the Extra Life campaign, since several of us helped over the weekend with that. We raised $930 so far.
Not bad.
Oh, nice.
That means I now have to do the Bloodstained Ritual of the Night randomizer at some point, which I'm okay with doing.
Do it, do it, do it.
And I have to pick the chaos setting so that it mixes up the shards and the items, but I'm not going to mess around with the side quests and the crafting recipes, and that just makes it insane, so... I'll randomize all the key items, all the shards, all the item drops. Alright.
Alright.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So, I just got off of my Pokemon Legends EA stream, which I do every Tuesday and Thursday. So, that was fun.
Did you catch them all, Joe?
No, so far I've caught all the ones I wanted, and some that I didn't.
That's the goal.
Yeah, I've caught some of the ugly ones that I don't care about, but it's okay.
As long as you have the snail goo monster thing, I will be happy.
Goodra. I know Goodra's in the game. I haven't found one yet, though.
Okay. It's one of my favorite Pokemon because it's just so silly looking, but at the same time it's very cute.
Yeah.
You know, because it's goo and it's slimy, but it looks like
it's a
snail.
Dragon somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a dragon later, but it's still very cute.
Pro tip, Joe: you can only find it when it's raining.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And also, it will only evolve into its final form when it's raining, as I have discovered. It will not fucking rain.
Incredible.
It won't rain for you. Wow.
Only happy when it rains.
So.
Okay.
I actually know that song reference.
It's garbage.
Only happened when it rained.
Yep. Yeah. Garbage.
Yes.
And here I'm thinking, thunder only happens when it's raining.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever seen the rain?
I want to know, have you ever seen
the rain? Well, look all around, there's nothing but blue skies.
Oh, well, here comes the rain again.
It's raining, man!
Okay. Like rain on your wedding.
No, we have to stop. We have to stop. Moving on.
There's just too many good choices.
Yeah, no, we're moving on. Okay. So, this week, nothing happened. Hooray!
Yay.
Except that there was a state of play today that raised many questions that I don't think we're going to get answered to. As to why this was a worldwide state of play. For those who missed it, and I suppose missed is probably not the way I would describe that, actually, now that I think about it, but for those who weren't aware of it...
Who failed to Sony notice.
Sony did a Japan state of play. They advertised it as, like, here's the worldwide state of play for news on Japanese games. And then they mostly showed stuff that we'd already seen, and which they didn't really have much new to say about. I saw someone near me in one of my other communities I'm in post a nice clean list. Let's see, so we've got... there were two things that were actually new announcements.
Oh boy.
They were a console version of a Blaze Blue side-scrolling roguelike.
That's already on Steam.
Yeah, that's been on Steam for forever. But now it's coming to consoles. I've never heard anyone say anything about this, and I know BlazBlue fans, so I'm taking that to mean that this is not an interesting video game.
Oh boy.
I haven't played it, so originally they were just making a roguelike, and then I want to say the BlazBlue stuff got added in after the fact, just for brand recognition, so it's not
to
really
give it
a BlazBlue
something
game
to hang its hat on. I mean, it's got Ragnar the Blood Edge, it seems to have some nonsense BlazBlue lore. The actual title of it is BlazBlue something or other X.
Yeah. Entropy FX.
Entropy Effect X. It's definitely in the BlazBlue canon at this point, regardless of where it started.
Isn't this by the studio from the head guy for BlazBlue after he left Arc System Works?
I have no idea. This game slid off of my brain. I immediately forgot it existed. The only reason I knew that this still existed was because I'm looking at a chart of what was actually shown.
It honestly looks like Dead Cells.
Yeah, there's definitely Dead Cells DNA in there. The only other thing that was actually announced was some sort of horror game called Broken Lore Ascend. There were two Broken Lore games that they were showing, both of which are coming out in 2026. And the other one was incredible because they were talking about how it's about the dangers of social media, and they called it Broken Lore Unfollow. And I could not take it seriously after I heard that name.
Okay.
I mean, they look kind of neat. They look kind of Silent Hill-esque, but
They look really generic first-person horror of the current era.
Actually, they kind of look like Ghostwire Tokyo a little bit, too, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't played that either. I'd rather play that.
That was kind of a neat game. Yeah, too bad developers all got let go. But
yeah.
Actually, well, closed that whole studio. Tango Gameworks, gone.
Tango got eaten by some sort of Korean publisher who's in the process of doing unspeakable things to its corpse.
Yeah. Yikes.
But let's see, some other stuff we saw, like, there's trailers for a bunch of indie games that I was not personally aware of, but, like, some of them had decent enough looking trailers. Coffee Talk Tokyo sort of looked like Valhalla, if you've ever played that. I'd forgotten that NISA, the NIS is making a...
Yes.
Fucking action RPG that's like tangentially Disgaea related. They showed a demon man fighting a number of prinnies that looked cute.
And there was There was a Nekomata with large.
Yeah, there's, yeah. We know what a Nekomata looks like.
Okay. Well, I don't have to go. Okay.
There was another trailer for Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly Remake. We first saw that at one of the at a Nintendo Direct that's coming out in March. There was some more details on the Dynasty Warriors Origins DLC that comes out in January alongside the Switch 2 version, but of course it's coming to every version of the game. That's called Vision of Four Heroes. That seems to be a fairly substantial expansion. There was some info on an Elden Ring Night Rain DLC. I'm kind of surprised that even that seems to have failed to penetrate anywhere that I keep track of. Like, I guess a lot of the places that liked Elden Ring that I followed weren't, like, super enchanted with Night Rain. That's the only thing I can think of. They showed a release date for... Or not release date. They showed another closed beta for Marvel Tokon, and holy shit, Arxis, stop doing these fucking garbage ass fucking lobby systems. Jesus. You have had like 10 years to try to get this kind of lobby system to work, and it has been trash every single goddamn time, and they keep doing it. Sorry, I just got really mad when I saw that damn thing again, because it's like, you have to realize how bad this is. Like, there's not been a single one of these that's come out without people saying, this lobby is trash, and they keep trying to make that dog hunt. Okay.
Tell me how you really feel.
I know. They announced some more Gran Turismo 7 DLC. I'm pretty sure that game still has a Give Sony $20 button on every single menu.
Yeah. Still no desire to play that.
There's a port of No Sleep for Kaname Date, the Eye of the Somnium Files side story that showed up on Switch and Switch 2 a few months back. Let's see. There was a neat looking Chinese RPG that has existed on Steam for a while called Wandering Sword. Hopefully that means
showing up.
Yeah, hoping that means that'll be showing up on all consoles.
That looked neat.
And then just like a bunch of DLC for things that already exist, like Pac-Man World 2 Repack, Crossworld, Super Robot Wars Y, Once Upon a Katamari.
Well, Pac-Man's getting weird Sonic DLC. It looked kind of fun.
Pac-Man is wearing Sonic's scalp. It's horrifying.
Well, I thought it looked neat.
Listen, it's cute, but when you think too hard about it, it's horrifying.
And then Sonic turned into a Pac-Man and he eats little dots.
Waka waka waka.
Waka waka.
But yeah, and then the trailer that anyone here might care about, Dragon Quest VII Reimagined, and they are writing some checks that they are going to have to work hard to cash. The DQ7 Reimagined trailer showcased a new scenario where the party is spending time with an older Kiefer. Yeah, that's what I mean by they are writing checks that they are going to have to work hard to cash. That is, on some level, shortchanging what I think is the most emotionally resonant moment in the game. And
I think it's one of the most emotionally resonant moments in the whole fucking series.
There's certainly a fair argument for that. But broadly speaking, I respect the ambition. I'm not sure they have what it takes to make this worth the dangerous water they're treading in. But I respect the fact that they are swinging for the fences to some extent. So I will see how it ends up turning out. But that was the focus of the State of Play trailer. Like, that was the thing they were showing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was basically everything in there. Like, there's very little new here. The big deal was that they announced something. They announced a new SKU of the PlayStation 5 in Japan, a 55,000 yen digital edition. Essentially, like, as a way to make the PS5 more attainable, despite the weak yen. You can. It is Japan only. It only. You know, it's region locked to Japan. That is the way that that SKU works. Ultimately, like it's an attempt to keep it in a viable price range, similar to the Switch 2 has a similar edition in Japan. It's probably still a little irksome because the same a digital edition PS5 at launch was 39,000 yen. So while a substantial discount from the 72,000 yen that the PS5 currently is in Japan, apparently, it's like that merely means that it's like 25% more expensive than when it launched, instead of nearly double what it was when it launched. So,
one interesting announcement was,
I feel like the ship sailed.
Yeah, well, especially with the Switch 2 out.
Yeah,
but what were you gonna say, Joe?
I was gonna say there was an interesting announcement. Octopath Traveler Zero, they announced a demo should be live now, and it's 3 hours long, and your progress carries over into the main game. I just thought people might want to know that.
Yeah,
I watched most of the presentation.
Other platforms, but yeah, currently I think it's only PS4 and PS5 that have the demo.
Okay, so yeah,
I
watched.
It is not on Steam.
I watched most of the presentation right before my stream was starting, and it's like, yeah, I don't think it was bad per se. But there wasn't much stuff in there that I was even interested in, unfortunately. I don't know, but I kept thinking, like, the guy who gave the presentation, he looked like a cool dude, you know? I don't know. I thought
he was a voice actor.
Yeah, he seemed cool.
He brought up that he was voice acting in, I can't remember which game.
I think it might be Zenless Zone Zero or one of those Hoyoverse games.
No, it was specifically something that they were showing. None of those were here.
Okay, I don't
like, when he got to one of the games, he was like, oh, I do voices in this game.
Okay, yeah, I forget which game it was, though.
But yeah, I don't remember what game. He seemed nice enough. I don't think we'll see him again, just by dint of the fact that, like, I presume he was pulled in because he was a voice actor in a game that they were showing. But yeah, like, the other thing is just, like, this was badly presented to the English audience, and I think the expectations were poorly set.
Yeah.
Because, like, the way they described it, it's like, this is a state of play focused on Japanese games. That's really exciting. I wonder if there'll be a bunch of Square announcements. No, it was just, here's a trailer for a thing we already knew about. This was really more a state of play focused on having an excuse to talk about the new Japan-only PS5 digital edition. Like, that was what this was for. Which also explains a great deal about why the end of the like, without that context, I spent a while puzzling out, why is the end of this 40-minute presentation of almost entirely PS5 games sitting here and explaining to me what a DualSense is? And it's like, oh, because they are hoping that this will spur PS5 digital edition sales in Japan. That's it. Who's to say how well it'll do? Again, I think it's obvious that they're trying, and for the same reason Nintendo is. I think that they are once again going to be hobbled by the fact that people remember this being significantly cheaper than it is, even now that they've, are fighting to make it cheaper. But we'll see. Certainly, I'm sure that there is a not insignificant portion of the Japanese market that would love to have a machine that would allow them to play Monster Hunter Wilds cheaper. But
don't do it. It's not worth it. The game is
there was some sort of Monster Hunter Wilds like additional endgame content announced. I suspect that game is simply waiting for the point where it reaches its inevitable expansion for them to relaunch and resell. But we'll see.
Yeah, I've heard it is very badly optimized on PC, and it is not doing hot.
It's not
good. They're apparently trying, like, allegedly they're basically waiting for for an excuse to relaunch it before they really, like, they're working on the PC version, but they're sort of waiting for an excuse for that to be done to have the excuse to properly relaunch it.
What game is that?
Monster Hunter Wilds.
I don't care. That's why, as soon as you said Monster Hunter Wilds the first time, I think I just kind of...
You glazed over?
Yeah. I just was like, oh.
But, yeah.
And then I thought maybe you'd moved on to a different game. That's why...
Nah. But, yeah, like... I suspect that, but yeah, this feels like the expectations were slightly mismanaged. Honestly, I would not have bothered showing this to Americans, and I get the sense that it was maybe a last minute decision to bother doing so, because the subtitles on this were bad. Not in the sense of, like, badly translated, at least as far as I could tell, but in the sense that they're just badly laid out on the screen. They are white on white half the time. They ping-pong back and forth up and at the top and bottom of the screen. During the Octopath Traveler trailer, they were subtitling dialogue that was on screen. It was... It looked amateur hour for fan subs. It was very strange. But yeah, I suspect that the decision to actually bother showing this to non-Japanese players was relatively late and was likely influenced by things like Marvel Tonkon, or Tokon, which I don't think... I'll be honest, I don't think it's going to have... make huge inroads in Japan. I don't think that's where it's supposed to.
But... No, because it's Arc System Works, but it's also Marvel. So yeah, so I'm not sure how that would appeal to.
I'm sure that that definitely has its fans, but it's not a as broad appeal as some of the other licensed fighters they've done.
Yeah, like Guilty Gear. Yeah.
Not even like Guilty Gear, but also like I feel like it was probably easier to sell a Japanese audience on Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It reminds me.
But yeah,
I gotta pick up Sparking Zero on Friday.
I've got it preloaded.
Nice. Now, Wheels,
with all the DLC characters.
Your voice is a little distorted. I'm not sure.
Who is mine?
No, Wheels. It's
a little
distorted. Weird. Just thought I'd point that out.
Wheels dance crazy. but yeah. So that was a C show. It's just like whatever. There were a couple neat things. There were a bunch of stuff I don't terribly care about. There's nothing that was extremely shameful. It was just kind of here's some stuff. Most of it's stuff that I'll play on other things, but I mean, it's there, and if you have a PS5, there's probably at least one thing you cared about, even if it wasn't something that you, like, bought a PS5 for. But yeah.
It's raining, I can involve Sligo and Nagudra, finally.
Oh, nice.
Hallelujah, it's raining dragon.
It's raining Gudra.
But,
I wasn't watching the stream. Hold on, let me load it up.
But also, fuck all of that, because we just got, like, the most important news of the day.
What?
Art Dink announces Art Dink Game Log catalog title ports for Switch and PC. Art Dink has announced Art Dink Game Log, a project to port and re-release games previously developed by Art Dink onto modern hardware. Also, credit to Gamatsu for reporting this. The first title, Tale of the Sun, will launch for Switch and PC via Steam on December 16th. Yes! Yes!
Okay.
For those who don't know, Tale of the Sun is Art Dink's PS1 Narcoleptic Caveman Simulator.
Okay.
that game. Oh no.
Tale of the Sun, you play a group of cavemen trying to build a tower to the sun. Your caveman will sometimes just sort of fall asleep. There's no way to wake him up. There's at least in the Japanese version, which is likely the version they're porting. There's no way to wake him up once he falls asleep. Sometimes he just will. You mostly wander around eating things and, rolling downhills. It's a... What's that?
Eating things and napping.
Yeah, eating things, napping, sometimes napping while falling down a hill. It's a very strange game. I will quote Wikipedia, which has a good statement from its director. He was inspired by looking at Mario and how, like, Mario is happy and the things you do are always under your control. He designed the game with a counterintuitive approach at times, citing how the player character would intermittently fall asleep during the action. Ida, the director on this, believed that this made the parts where the character was awake more entertaining as a result. discussed how he felt suspicious about claims that a game must be fun to be a game.
I remember there was something philosophical about why it was the way it was.
Yeah, and that he wanted to create an unfun game. So yeah, Tale of the Sun
is making a sequel.
Yeah, that's so very Japanese developer there.
Yeah, Tale of the Sun's extraordinarily strange. I'm glad that it's being re-released because Jesus
people
Christ.
People need to experience this.
Yeah, people should feel. People should feel what this is like. There's a lot of early PS1 games that are very experimental because a lot of companies that didn't previously make games are making them, and a lot of companies that previously made games don't know what to do with 3D, so you get a lot of weird shit. We know that there are at least three games in the ArtDink game log group that are going out. The first two have been revealed, and they are Tale of the Sun and Aquanauts Holiday.
Which is another weird one.
Yeah, Aquanauts Holiday is kind of the spiritual precursor to the Endless Ocean games, if you remember those. But you basically, you swim around underwater and you look at fish. It's weird. I'm glad it exists. So I'm glad these are coming back. Genuinely, no sarcasm, just glad to see these.
Okay.
And they are coming to Switch and PC. So yeah, so that's pretty neat. Other than that, I picked up Stray Children. I haven't gotten the chance to play it yet. But I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I just restarted this morning. I'm on the Second Kingdom now.
Nice.
Yeah.
But
it's been interesting in English.
I'm just glad that we didn't have to wait 20 years for it in English.
Yep. Speaking of stuff that is PlayStation and highly experimental, Moon. Yeah.
Yeah. Now available on your platform of choice in English.
Yeah. And also, if you have a chance to play Moon first, you probably should, because then you'll get a lot more out of the start of Stray Children. A lot more. There are some references in here.
Some homages may be occurring.
Yeah.
Glad to see.
No, I mean, we're talking about a full gâteau d'homage here. So.
Glad to see those. Glad to see the triumphant return, and that we, again, don't have to wonder if something will ever see English release for 20 years anymore.
Yeah.
So it's actually
some weird stuff will actually make it.
Yep. It's actually been a horrendous week for my wallet. Because also Yakuza Kiwami 1 and 2 on Switch 2 just came out. It's like, well, I do want to play Yakuza Kiwami 2. And so I will. That means 0, 1, and 2 are already available on my Switch 2, and 3 is soon to follow. With the release of Kiwami 3 early next year, so keep them coming, Sega. I'll keep buying. I'm dumb.
I just saw news pop up on a particular game.
Uh-oh. Which one?
Super Robot Wars Y, the first DLC drops.
Yeah, I mentioned that the DLC had been shown, but yeah.
Oh.
I just didn't mention
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I just didn't mention what was in it.
What's the DLC?
Yeah.
The Big O.
Big O.
Oh, yeah. I know what that is. Oh my god, I know what that is.
Galaxy Cyclone Breaker.
Oh, that's for me. That's for extreme, like, old anime perverts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Portrait of Kamen Rider Skull. I don't know how to pronounce the first part, so I'm not going to try because I'll probably destroy it.
I will bring up, in case anyone wants to go... in case anyone is curious about a particularly strange piece of Big O information, the original theme song for Big O does not appear on the recent home releases because it was deemed to be too similar to Queen's Flash Gordon theme, and officially the listed composer is no longer the band that performed it. It is listed as Brian May composition.
Wow.
Seriously?
Yeah, like they've reassigned composition credits on Jazzrak.
Wow.
From what I understand, it was very heavily inspired by the Flash Gordon.
If you hear them both, you immediately know what they were doing. The funny part is that if you hear the full theme, it's an homage to like three different Queen songs.
Yeah. And yet Queen somehow was forced to settle with Vanilla Ice for Ice Ice Baby.
One of the all-time great bits of court testimony. No, you see, theirs goes da 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 da, and mine goes da 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 da.
Yeah, dun dun dun. Whereas Queen was like, no, he definitely took this off of this specific recording of the song where we had this guest artist went in with us.
Yeah, so he stole the bass line from Under Pressure. Like, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
Under Pressure. And there's even, like, a comment that he made to someone, like, before they released it's like, you know, if we're going to release this...
We're opening ourselves up to things.
Yeah. It was part of that old VH1 series Behind the Music, and they actually said that on the Behind the Music thing. It's like, yeah, if we can release this, we're going to have to like credit, you know, Queen or something like that. I forget the specific what all they said. And then it comes out and they're like, no, 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 it's different.
Yeah. But yeah, this was very funny to me. Like, credit to extreme anime nerd, Western anime nerd historian Mike Toole for bringing this to light in the English speaking world a few years back. But basically, searching through Jazzrak, he had found that Jazzrak being like the Japanese version of ASCAP, but basically essentially equivalent to it. But searching through Jazzrak, that is no longer credited to the performing band. It is now credited to Brian May, which means someone got into someone's legal business, and that was the that was the way they settled it. But that is why the Big O theme does not appear on recent physical re-releases of the show, which is a lovely show that is well worth watching. I hope that when they put Big O into Super Robot Wars Y, that Roger retains the absolutely bonkers ability that he had in the Z games. Roger had the unique character skill Negotiator, which basically made it so that if he was on the battlefield, you didn't have to pay for any units of yours that got destroyed. They were just repaired for free.
They actually no longer do that.
Oh, that's tragic. That was fun. Yeah, you could do really stupid things with Negotiator.
Yeah, they've stopped charging for repairing destroyed units several entries ago.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me too much, but I haven't checked in since 30.
They didn't do it in 30 either!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I haven't checked in since 30. Like, I haven't played 30.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it was...
He was the last one I played.
Yeah, V-tier X, one of those ones is where it stopped. I forget which one specifically.
It might just be that I never had units destroyed in T.
Or you forgot.
No, I just never had units destroyed in T. It's a pretty easy game. So, you know, always fun to see always fun to see weirdos. Like, Briger is not the deepest cut, but it is a pretty deep cut, so always fun to see that. But yeah, that's it. We made a meal out of the news segment, despite there being very little news.
Wasn't great. No.
We managed. We made it work. We made it happen. Let me see if there's anything in the podcast section. There's nothing in the podcast section. We were fools. Fools to believe. What a fool believes.
If anything she needs, she's like the wind.
What a fool believes, he sees. No wise man has the power to wish it away. Tam, you don't show up too often. Do you have any questions for us?
No.
Okay, fair. No. I wouldn't want to hear from me either. Wheels, well, here's my question for you. When are you going to watch The Big O?
I did when it was on Toonami a few times.
Guess what?
25 years ago.
It was such a big deal on Toonami that they commissioned a second season.
So it has two seasons?
Yeah,
after the second season. Two seasons of 13 episodes.
Okay. Yeah.
Although the ending is a little bit of a brain screw.
Yeah, it's odd.
That was also from the era of Evangelion. That was kind of normal.
I mean, like,
it made more sense than Eva.
Mecha shows having weirdo endings.
Eva, also, Eva had to be remade to make more sense. Eventually,
it made less sense. No sense. But like, I'm gonna like. As a bone of contention, mecha endings not making a ton of literal sense is very, very old.
Big O's ending made sense. It made absolute sense. It was just a bit of a brain screw. That was it.
Like I said, making literal sense, but you can roll back to things like the Ideon be invoked or Go Shogun Time Etranger, or God, what's that one that fucking Baldios, the Baldios movie. That's got a real fucked up ending. It is in fact tradition for old mecha anime to have just endings that make you question what the fuck just happened.
Yeah, there was a very weird trend towards Christian Gnosticism in anime during the 90s. And it shows.
Yeah, but I'm talking about stuff that dates back to the 70s.
Yeah, it had to come from somewhere. It just got much weirder in the 90s.
Yeah, Ideon definitely had left marks on what ended up becoming stuff like End of Eva. The notion of, like, everything blows up, everyone dies, but in so doing grows to understand each other. That's baked into Ideon be invoked. Yeah. Which is quite a way to end your television show. The inimitable Yoshiyuki Tomino could not be stopped. I'll bring up the other two that I just referenced, though. Goshogun Taimatranger is a, like, movie sequel to the fairly normal mecha anime Goshogun that is mostly the, like, a much older version of one of the protagonists gets in a car crash, and we sort of see her come to terms with death as a concept. Don't know why that was how the form that movie took, but they did that. And then Baldios's ending is just garden variety misery, because it ends up being a time loop that the protagonist caused the inevitable destruction of Earth. So, you know, just, you know, who cares what you show, how you end your children's show? Who gives a fuck? Fuck it. Traumatize them.
I mean, I remember, it's like, okay, so there was a comic strip that was made by an ALT who was working over here for a while, yeah. And she did one strip that was just commenting on your standard Kamen Rider plot progression over a season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, at the start, oh, ho-ho, is that guy Banana? And at the end, by the end, it's like, we estimate that 86% of the world's population will be extinguished.
Yeah. Oh, this does remind me of something...
That's fairly normal.
This does remind me of something that seems kind of wild, if true. Which is the rumor that's been floating around that they're going to stop making new Super Sentais?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, after 50 it's years.
Pretty wild. Pretty wild.
Yeah, they said basically it basically came down to cost. It cost too much to make, and it's not bringing in as much money as it used to.
Hmm. Yeah, just wild.
I mean, everything's got to go at some point.
Yeah, it's just wild when it leaves after 50 years on television.
I mean
that's a
how
good
many
run.
Consecutive series? Yeah.
Yeah. Ending on number one Sentai Gosuger. Yep, so if in case anyone was wondering if Power Rangers is coming back, no. yeah, so all things must pass. And I could just tie together this entire series of rambles by bringing up accidental potentially on purpose musical plagiarism, but I won't. I don't know. I'm going to check if there was any questions under the comments. Let's see. What magical world might we see? Q&A quest. Can't believe you didn't name the episode 419 after some sort of scam.
I should have. Is this all going to be Always Sunny parodies until I get bored doing that?
That's not going to take long. You get bored constantly.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, nothing that we haven't answered yet, so... I don't know, I'm freaking tired. Anyone want to cut this one short?
They've been 45 minutes.
It's only been 45 minutes. I can't be stopped.
Lightning round.
Wheels, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Pokemon Legends Z to A.
Wow.
Legenza?
Because it fucking rules.
I love it.
A lot of fun. I'm like rank D. I should probably speed it up to make sure that I'm ready for the DLC in December, but I'm just having a good time around Paris.
I'm up to rank A. Having a blast.
Damn.
I'm just at a point now where I had to fight a level 46 trainer and then a level 48 rogue mega evolution, and my Pokemon are all around like level 42, and I almost died.
That's a rough one.
I do have to go do some level grinding, unfortunately, but I don't know. The only thing that annoys me is, like, I thought I was going to be fighting a fighting trainer because he was the next to rank up. He was the leader of this dojo you can go to. So mm-hmm. I got this team of, like, flying types and psychic types to go after fighting. But then he's like, oh, I can't fight you because my sister's missing. Fine.
Oh, yeah,
so
that.
While trying to find his sister, you have to refight the streamer lightning girl. And I'm like, well, I can't bring flying types against lightning. So I had to change out some of my Pokemon. And then you find the guy's sister and she has ghost types. It's like, well, I can't bring psychic types into a ghost fight. So the game does throw some curveballs in there where it's like, oh, you thought you had the perfect team, didn't you?
There's
a very easy solution.
What is? What?
Don't build a team based on just one fight. You know, build a team with multiple, just in case multiple stuff hits the wall.
Yeah. Well, the game does throw you some other curveballs. Like, you're fighting a ground type, so you get, like, a grass type, and then it has a fire move. Like, they do that a lot, I'm noticing, and it seems like it's, I don't know, maybe I just didn't notice it before, but it seems like it's more frequent than the other Pokemon games I played. I don't know. Just so many fights where you think you've got the perfect counter to what they're doing, and then they have a move you don't expect. So that happens to me a lot. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I've also been playing Dragon Quest One. I rescued Princess Gwaelyn.
Yay!
I'm not returning her. She's just gonna go along with me for the rest of the game.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Are you supposed to do that?
The game certainly knows you can, because she has dialogue in basically every scene.
Wow, okay, that's cool.
I was just going to say, I like that Legends Z to A is legit a sequel to X and Y, and I'd like to see them kind of continue stories from other games, and they do more of these. That's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
What if... Well, okay, so Legends Arceus was already, like, far into the past... But, like, what if they did a Legends game based on Scarlet and you go back to prehistoric times, you know?
But you wouldn't have any Pokeballs. Well, I guess unless you're going, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, canonically, old ancient Pokeballs were carved out of special nuts.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm just thinking they already went back in time for Legends Arceus, so maybe they don't need to do that. I don't know.
Go to the future. All right,
just a thought. Well, I'm just thinking of what other regions or generations could get, you know, the Legends treatment. That's all.
Any of them.
Far future. Scarlet Violet, just send it to the year 3000.
In the year 3000.
In the year 33, 23. I don't know the actual words, but I remember.
In the year 25.
I just want to go back to Alola in some form, please, and thank you.
If man's still alive.
Or at least like a port of Sun and Moon, I don't know. Get them off of 3DS.
They may fly.
I had a music teacher who played that song for us and just commenting on the fact that, like, every verse is a key change, right? I think every verse that goes up a half step or a whole step or something ridiculous like that. So, yeah, by the end of the song, because there's so many verses, it's probably a full octave and a half higher than where it starts or something.
Yeah. I mostly just remember the Futurama parody of the song. In the year a million and a half. Mankind is ruled by giraffes.
Oh, man.
That sounds funny.
It's a good bit. I'll link it. It's a funny bit.
Giraffe-a-rig! Giraffe.
Ah, dreadful creature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've also been playing Pokemon Legend ZA and mostly enjoying it and streaming it two nights a week on the RP Gamer channel. And I have been playing Metaphor again and making steady progress there. I made it to that port city. So now the new dungeon is kind of like what you do in Persona 5. Like, you have to go in there and infiltrate and find the correct route to get to Luis or to his room where there's some spell you have to steal. So I'm getting ready to do that. And also was trying to do a couple of side quests. So I unlocked the merchant class, I unlocked the commander class, or the archetypes rather. So I was just playing that a little bit. And just last night I thought, hey, I haven't played FF7 Rebirth in a long time. I don't know why I never finished it. So I popped that in and got to a part where, like, the girls have to stay back in the town and the boys have to go check out the reactor. And so it's Cloud, Barret, and Kate Sith. And I'm supposed to be able to get a green chocobo that can bounce off of mushrooms, but I haven't gotten it yet for some reason. So that's still a neat game that I intend to finish. And I was just playing a little bit of Everybody's Golf, and at one point I made a putt, and the ball just fell through the ground. You know, it glitched, so it just kept plummeting underneath the map, and that was funny, so I took a screenshot and I'll show it to you guys.
Got a hole in the universe.
Yeah. Oh. Hole in one verse. The year 25. Fine. We don't have any Fire Miner questions today? I guess he didn't know we switched days.
Yeah, we didn't really announce that, so I don't blame him.
Whoops. Wait, we got through all the questions in Discord?
Probably not. Recent Discord questions?
Oh, okay.
You have to go back looking through which ones we haven't done. I am 30 or 40 years old and I do not need this. Nah, I'm just joking around.
I am reasonably middle age adjacent and I do not wish to hear this, no.
Let's see. Yeah, it would be. Yeah, I think what Fireminer ended up doing was like deleting a bunch of them so that you could like ask them again, like at a more curated time, because there's nothing going back to like April.
Okay.
I have a question. I'm gonna pose a question. In all of your opinions, what is the best Pokemon game pre-3DS?
Black and White.
Shit. Okay. Pre-Black and White.
Well, now you're just getting...
Okay.
Now you're getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're being awfully specific.
Gale of Darkness.
Oh, that's a spicy one.
Okay. Ooh. Black and White, not on GameCube.
What are you fishing for?
What are you fishing for?
The best portable Pokemon pre Black and White.
Well, Gen 2.
Pokemon Green.
I enjoyed Gold.
Yeah, I'm a Gold Silver. I'm a Gold Silver boy.
OG or DS?
Okay. For me,
you said pre Black and White.
For me, it's Sapphire, but that's because that's all I had to play down in Meridian.
Did Heart Gold and Soul Silver come out after Black and White?
No, they're Gen 4.
Oh, so are they better than the Game Boy original, or does it really matter?
I mean, like, you'll probably enjoy them more, but, like, you're asking what I want, and I'm saying what I like.
Is Crystal better than Black, or Soul? Oh my god.
You're asking if Crystal is better than Heart Gold and Soul Silver. The answer is, like, I don't know, man.
No. Better than Gold or Silver.
Yeah, so if you're going to play those ones, yes.
Okay. Noted.
Again, what are we fishing for?
We're fishing for more information because I'd like to play some of the older ones. Because I checked out of the series after the original because I caught all of them like an idiot and didn't really come back in until I played a diamond and didn't really like it, and I didn't really start playing again until X and Y. So, I mean, I've played black, not finished it yet, but it is fucking awesome. So I'm curious. I'm trying to figure out which of the other ones I'd like to go back to at some point.
You might as well just do the DS versions if there are remakes. Platinum is better than Diamond or Pearl, mainly because they understood what they did wrong with Diamond and Pearl when they made it.
Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it.
I didn't play the Diamond and Pearl remakes. Were those good?
Well, just to put in perspective, the Diamond and Pearl remakes for Switch have the lowest resale value in Japanese used game markets of any of the Switch games, and resell for less than Pokemon Platinum. Yes.
So they're not good. They're not popular.
Compared to the originals, it's debatable, but compared to other games of the same generation of creation, no. Not that good.
They were the one set of remakes that were farmed out to third-party Ilka, as opposed to being made internally by Game Freak.
Kind of shows.
Game Freak was busy with Legends Arceus.
That's bad. Okay.
Well, I mean, what they were working on instead is good.
That's good. I'm trying to trap you into a Simpsons reference. Sorry.
I'm guessing that's why we haven't seen a black and white remake yet, because I'm hoping they're not going to farm that one out.
Yeah, I don't think that they're interested in making remakes.
But what if they just do one new game and it's just Pokemon Gray?
No.
They're not going to do
all
that.
The Pokemon from both black and white.
No,
because they did black. No. They could have done that. They did black 2, white 2 instead.
Yeah, they could have done gray and they did white 2.
I mean, that was a better choice. Like, that was at least a different game.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh, well, what other piece of news was it? There was Sonic Racing Cross Worlds does have an official Switch 2 release date in December, right?
Yeah.
That sounds accurate. I don't remember when
I still love the advertising for that game.
I don't remember when the
December 10th.
No, I mean, I don't remember if that's also when the
November 10th was yesterday.
No, December. December.
Oh, December 10th. Yes. I heard November.
I don't remember when they said the fucking physical ones.
I think January. It's early next year.
So the digital and then the upgrade. You're going to get a free upgrade if you have the Switch 1 version, though. Yeah. So.
Which I do. Sweet.
But I don't.
So in theory, you could buy the Switch 1 cart and then just get the free upgrade, but then, you know, then you've got half. Like, then you don't have a fully digital or fully physical product, is what I meant to say. Oh, yeah, the Wandering Sword game came out on Steam 2 years ago. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a console port. They've been talking about wanting to do console ports.
Yeah, I'm just browsing through Steam to see if there's any other things we can talk about. Well, Dave, what have you been playing?
Dragon Quest.
You said that already. Okay, I'm sorry. Tam, what have you been playing?
Super Robot Wars Y. Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD Remix.
But why?
Why not?
Why not?
Okay, fine.
you got me. I got nothing.
I mean, it's better than... So, they went with this whole theme for Super Robot Wars Y. And it is the stupidest thing they've ever done. So, like, every game in the Super... Like, when you form the, you know, coalition of people, you know, they give it some sort of name.
Mm-hmm.
And this one they call it Wise Next. And Wise is spelled Y-Z.
What could be next?
Oh, it's so stupid. I'm like, this is the stupidest name they could ever fun of. It's like, yes, deploy the wise next. I'm like, no. I know you can't rename it. I know I could have renamed it, but it's just...
But why?
Although the Super Robot Wars wise is a lot better than 30.
That's good.
Is that the last one to come out? I cannot keep track.
Yeah, the most recent one was 30.
Yeah, the last one was SRW 30.
Is Magic,
they did a very good
Ray Earth in this new one?
No.
Oh, then I don't care.
It does have Godzilla.
Interesting. That's not a robot.
Well,
it's not Mecha Godzilla. No.
No. It's regular Godzilla.
Okay.
It's because one of the new series in this has a mecha. So for one of the new series of Godzilla has a mecha. So
it counts.
It counts.
Yeah.
I mean, it also has Gundam Seed, it has Gurren Lagann, or not Gurren Lagann, it has Code Geass. It actually has, like, new Getter Robo stuff.
Gats.
No, like, new.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Right, well, I'm looking this up right now, but my question was, this the Atelier Ryza trilogy with the DX versions... Is there a physical copy of that or no?
Yes.
Okay. The whole trilogy, like on one disc or three discs?
No,
or...
I think it's three discs or three Switch carts with upgrade to Switch 2.
Okay.
But PlayAsia's got them all physical copy right here.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's all on one thing. I believe it's all. Three discs.
I mean, it's definitely a very large box. It looks like three packages bundled together.
Okay, because I'm on.
I'm giving you a link.
Oh, well, that's weird. So, on their official website, it's saying only available digitally. Okay, but you're showing me a PlayAsia. Let me.
Yeah, in the West officially, it is only available digitally.
Okay. Oh, see, now that looks neat. Okay.
Yeah.
So physical copy for only an extra $10, like yeah. So all three games
to get them from Video Games Plus. So I'll send you that link too, in case you're curious.
Atelier Ryza Secret Trilogy DX multi-language, $100 instead of $90, but you're getting all three. Oh yeah, that looks like a big box there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but it is the English version though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So a long time ago, I told you this before, but just to reiterate, a long time ago, I did buy Atelier Ryza on Steam, and just never got good performance, and even tried to play on Steam Deck, and honestly, it just wasn't well optimized. Like, just a lot of stuttering with the frame rate and stuff.
Does not have a good track record with that.
I was going to say, I don't think any of their games... I would not recommend buying any of their games on PC.
I have all the games on PC.
I've got Sophie 1 and 2 on PC, but largely because they were review codes.
I have an entire folder dedicated to Atelier. Yeah.
What? I'm looking at that other link you sent me. What is this currency? What is CAD?
Canadian dollar.
Oh.
If there's a bottom left, you can switch it.
Oh, I don't know why it thinks I'm in Canada.
It just defaults.
They're a Canadian store, I believe.
A Canadian store that just defaults to that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, I see. So.
Yeah, and they ship in the U.S. out of upstate New York, so it's a pretty quick ship turnaround.
Okay.
For us folks.
But they're, it's all sold out except for the, first entry, the premium box, $120. Oh, but you get a CD, you get, like, a book...
I think
okay, you got a poster.
They still have it on PlayAsia, though, if you're interested.
Ryza ASMR, what is that? Like, she just talks to you?
Something like that, probably.
Okay. That's a neat addition. Okay, no, thanks for showing me that. So I might do that. I'm going to think about it.
We should play more of the series. It's very good. I should play more of the series.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to grab the trilogy since it's like, oh, a nice upgraded version for my new console.
Yeah, the real thing I've been doing this weekend is I've been reading Death March to the Parallel World Rhapsody. I'm on book 9.
Death Road to Canada.
What?
Death Cab for Cutie.
Is this
the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band?
So for PS4 you can get the Neptunia Rebirth trilogy, and you get it. I thought it came with a statue.
I spent not get that.
Yeah, it's an acrylic standee. I'm like, oh, I thought it was like a statue of the two girls. It's a standee. No thanks.
I got those collector's editions on Switch. Just get the standard edition. Don't waste your money.
Wheels, notable fool whose money is soon parted.
It's very true.
Take my money.
Speaking of which, I have those Ryza collector. They're not collectors. Normal editions coming at some point.
And that reminds me, there's a statue that I want to get. I'm still on pre-order.
Yeah. Well, you sent me a link. Sent me a link to PlayAsia, so now I'm gonna have to just look at some other stuff here. Oh no.
You really don't have to.
You don't. You will.
No, but I've been looking at some figures a while back, and I was able to pay down my credit card balance to zero, and it's like, ooh.
Wouldn't it be nice to keep it there?
Yeah, no, you're right. You are right.
Have you considered? Zero is a nice-looking number.
I've been very responsible for a few months now, and I've been doing good, and I should probably continue to do that.
However, a nice Ryza collection would not hurt your balance too terribly.
No.
Please sponsor us, Gus.
Oh, now I'm looking at Nendoroids. Oh, no.
Nope, stop it.
Well, I guess Gust wouldn't really sponsor us. Please sponsor us, Koei Tecmo.
Uh-huh.
We'll play all the Musos.
Yes, I will hawk all.
Marty.
I will hawk all your Musos. All of them.
I do have a copy
of Secret of the Stars just to not laugh at it too much.
I'll be mean to it.
I actually own a copy of Secret of the Stars.
Actually, I mean, I have some interesting memories of it. It's just kind of a mid title for Super Nintendo.
It's an NES game that was made mid in the SNES life.
Oh god, losing to Mega Mufasa.
So I did, however, actually snag a copy of. What's it called? Age of Imprisonment. I just haven't gotten around to showing it yet. I've got two other games currently on the ROM.
The opening bits to that, it is very slow to get going, which is fine.
I hear that the intro is quite long because there's actually a lot of story there.
Yeah. But I'm very interested to play it because it's another game that, please, has no link, really.
Rip Lonk.
Another Legend of Zelda game about Zelda.
Oh.
The Legend of Zelda.
Yes.
They should just title those The Legend of Link.
Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
Link to The Adventure of Zelda.
Hmm. Mark.
Oh. I'm distracted learning all about Team Flare.
Mm-hmm. I was busy checking in on Gwaylin, see what she's doing now that we're in the fairy village.
Have you gotten the achievement for sleeping at an inn?
I'm playing on the Switch too. I did not get achievements.
Oh. What is wrong?
I am free of achievements. My game time is my own. Wouldn't it be nice if we... Okay, like, we cannot stretch... We cannot responsibly stretch this out any longer. Guys, no. Tell me where I can get books.
Let's talk about... We could talk about Magic the Gathering.
No, even
no.
More.
No.
But
no.
A Final Fantasy no. Character just got banned.
Yeah,
yeah, he's banned forever. There, we solved the mystery.
Believe we discussed that particular card quite a bit. A few months ago.
Yeah, because it's broken as shit, and I don't understand what took them so long to ban it.
Probably because they were enjoying using it too much.
I don't get it.
Okay, so tell me about where I can find books.
Okay, so... Sadly, this involves Amazon, because...
Unfortunately.
No other...
such as life.
Vendor really covers the distance, unfortunately. So, yeah, so... With that said, we have Princesses of the Pizza Parlor on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. If you enjoy tabletop role-playing games, if you enjoy other people's experiences of playing tabletop role-playing games, perhaps out of some vicarious sense of schadenfreude, as they make very obvious mistakes with very poor wisdom rolls, it happens sometimes in real life. Princesses of the Pizza Parlor, 13 episodes, 5 side stories, and 1 self-indulgently long paralogue novel, for Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. It's under Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu. And continuing on, we have Vainglorious Long as the Night, Lit RPG, Metroidvania, so just all sorts of fun stuff in there. That one is a full novel. It is fairly long. Comes in text, print replica, and reflowable text editions, just depending on your personal viewing preferences. Please check it out. And we have Tanuki is a Teapot, Japanese Folk Tales, all about animals. Animals mostly survive the stories, but you never know with some of these old folk tales, unfortunately. At least one grandma does not survive. Sure. Dang Tanuki. And otherwise, under a different pen name, Michael Spearwater, Spearwater, we have A Wager for Wonderlust, a travelogue romanticy, which I might as well keep plugging because nobody else is looking at it right now.
Someone found a way to.
Someone found a way to. I was like, okay, if they're going to put that much effort into it, I'm just going to relist this thing again, because the reason for taking it off the bookshelf originally just did not pan out. So it's back up there if anyone wants to check it out. Content advisory warning, just because there's a reason why it's not under the same pen name as the stuff for middle schoolers. So it's still fun. Lots of interesting shenanigans involving world building with that one, just because I could. And I feel like putting a comment on, like, obviously zero AI input into this one, because no AI would come up with some of this crap. So, like, yay, let's use stuff inspired by real languages. Which real languages should we use? Okay, yes, Japanese, that's a given. French, sure, why not? Tokarian B. Why not? I found a glossary.
Nerd. Nerd.
Yes, and proud of it. Yeah. There are a few sentences of Tokarian B somewhere in the middle of that. And if anyone's not aware of it, Tokarian B as a language has not existed for about 7 centuries at this point.
Damn.
So. We're not even sure what the actual language is called.
One of those things, like, we found traces of a language.
We found found notes by Buddhists of notes of Buddhist scripture in this language.
Yeah, we don't really have a speaker or reader to compare it to, so it gets the name of whatever.
Even better, we have two obviously related languages with records, and they're not the same language. Yeah.
Part of some language family.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. You might be educated. You might enjoy romance. There's much to learn. And where can we find the fine streamers of RP Gamer?
Well, you can find me on the RP Gamer channel every Tuesday, Thursday night, starting around 10 o'clock on Tuesday, 9 o'clock on Thursday, the Eastern Time. And sometimes I do my own streams on Saturdays on twitch.tv/smokeandjoegamer. And I also have a YouTube channel under Smoke and Joe Gamer with over 400 videos for you to watch if you want to do that.
You can catch me Saturdays and Sunday nights at the same channel. Currently playing Super Robot Wars... the second Super Robot Wars Original Generations. I have to keep that straight because...
Try arranging the Super Robot Wars game, the original generation games, in order. Good luck.
I have posted this on in the RP game or in the RP Gamer Discord with the continuity and explain just how messed up it is.
OG 1 and OG 2 are replaced by OGs, which is followed by OG Gaiden, which is followed by second OG, which is followed by Moon Dwellers.
There's also a manga. There's also a manga that takes place like many decades before the games even start, which covers the events of the
You would also probably want to include things like Endless Frontier and Endless Frontier Exceed, which are
I do
canon as well and fit probably somewhere if I were forced to hazard a guess, it would be slightly before second OGs, but I'm not sure.
No, Endless Frontier technically started before OG2, they do happen before second OG because the second Endless Frontier was when Axel and can't think of his name, Kota were in the Endless Frontier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then before Moon Dwellers is when
then we got Haken and all his bullshit.
No, yeah, well, that's when Haken joins, but that's only not because of Endless Frontier, but because of Project X Zone.
Yeah, the canon is real, real silly.
I can't wait for the next OG game.
And I've been thinking that for like 8 years. I don't know when we're getting it. God, when did Moon Dwellers come out? That might be closer to 9 years ago.
PS4.
Yeah, so it's very specifically a PS4 game.
Well, PS3 and PS4.
Yeah, well, that just tells you how old it is, because it was also they were still making it on PS3. That was back in... Yeah, it was a 2016 video game. That turns 10 next year.
Old.
I will bring up the... Like, before we close, I will bring up the tragicomic ending of that... That's why I've launched.
Toby, I fed you.
Let's get this all wrapped up. You can also catch us typically at 8:30 p.m., 11:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern on Mondays. We had a special day because otherwise we wouldn't be able to have Gaijin on, and thankfully that meant we could also pick up Tam. Otherwise, we normally would do that. Yeah, we would normally do that on Mondays. We are made all the poorer by our lack of Fire Miner, who shows how much he is an important part of keeping the show running by constantly giving us questions to react to.
Yes.
Thanks once again for always showing up and for having patience as we go on extremely long tangents. Otherwise, we have. We have our sister show Shenanigans, where me, Wheels, and Joe, in some combination, play video games until one or all of us are tired or sick of each other. That happens at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Sundays. And let's see, what else do we have? Anything?
I am possibly going to stream Inazuma 11 when it launches on Thursday. And yes, I'm actually planning on getting to show up before that, so...
Maybe I'll show up and yell at you.
Yes. So possibly check that out, because I do love me some level 5.
I'll show up and say, soccer, more like dog shit, and then run away. yeah, that's enough. That's enough of me. You can ask us questions by catching us when we in the chat when we stream, or you can ask us questions by asking questions in the RP Gamer Discord in the podcast section, which you can find by going to rpgamer.com and going to the community section to get an invite. It's a lovely community whether you want to ask us questions or not. You can also ask us questions by putting comments under this very episode. We will not those are the three primary ways of doing it. If you like added us on like Blue Sky or something, we might respond, but like that's hardly a guarantee. Smoke signals also just generally kind of a poor track record of us noticing. So those would be my three recommended ways of doing so. But otherwise, I think that wraps it up for today. So see you, Space Cowboys.
See you.
Take care, everybody.